Timothy chapter number 3 in your Bible tonight. We always look forward to coming to Gateway. Everybody here treats you so wonderful and so nice that at the end of the meeting you kind of hate to go back to reality. But tonight it's so good. Good to see some of our friends across the country. And I'm so glad the Lord has let us have meetings like this, where we can be reminded that we're not the only one trying to serve the Lord. I've met a few independent Baptists that thought they were it, man. Nobody but them. In fact, I told them the other day, I have preached with the greatest preachers in America. You know how I know? They told me they were. And they told everybody else there they were. But there's only one among us tonight who is great, and his name is Jesus. In fact, he's greater than the greatest, higher than the highest, better than the best. And we have met this week to honor the name of the Lord. And I'm like you, I am anticipating the rolling in of the tide. And I do not mean Crimson Tide. I know they won that game, but bless God, they cheated the whole way through. And that's just for my Alabama friend. And I need to tell you this. It come out in the paper today. They're going to expand the Atlanta Zoo. They're going to fence in Alabama. And so thank God for that. But we're waiting for the Lord just to breathe upon us. I love what Billy Kelly said one time. This lady said, Brother Billy, said, do you shout every time you go to church? He said, no, but glory to God, I'm subject to. And I hope it gets right subject before we leave here tonight. Amen. If you're saved tonight, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you don't know your right from your left, just say praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 tonight. We'll begin reading in verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, hated, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Sounds like I'm reading from the headlines of the day's newspaper. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it says, from such turn away. Look down in verse number 12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I've just read to you a very graphic description of the day and the hour in which we live. Now the very next verse, what are we to do about this? Quit? Fold in the tent? Throw away the word of God? And just give up on it? No, notice the next verse. But continue thou. Tonight, men of God, it is not retreat. It is not give up. It is not quit. But it's continue thou. Press forward. And keep on going. Because God is still right. And God is still good. And we have a reason tonight to serve the Lord. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of and knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And I want to say before I read verse number 16, I believe what I'm about to say. And if I didn't believe what I was about to read, I'd quit preaching and make me an honest living. And anybody who says they're a preacher and they don't believe this next verse is not making an honest living. If you don't believe verse number 16, fold in your papers. We will accept them tonight. Praise God. I like what it said in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God Can I just read that again? I've got circled here, holler hallelujah right here. Hallelujah right here. Not some scriptures, not partial scripture, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And using this chapter as a text tonight, I want to preach for 3 or 4 hours, praise God, on certain truths for uncertain times. Certain truths for uncertain times. We come tonight to the book of 2 Timothy, and Paul is in prison. In fact, Paul is just hours away from going out to the place of execution and paying the ultimate price for his faith and his service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is facing some uncertain times. He does not know what the next step, the next breath, the next moment may bring into his life. But I want to remind you tonight that Paul is not facing the unknown with doubt and fear and intimidation and dread. In fact, Paul opens up this great book with this statement: God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Paul is facing the unknown with absolute confidence, heartfelt assurance that he knows, that he knows, that he knows, that he knows. Paul writes you and I in this day to remind us that we live in the midst of uncertain times. The Bible said in Proverbs 27 verse 1 that we know not what a day may bring forth. And if we do not know what one day is going to bring forth, we sure tonight don't know what an entire year is going to bring into our life. I don't know what you do, but at the end of every year, December the 31st of every year, I look at my wife and I look in the mirror and I go, wow, I'm glad that's over. We had to go through some things in our church last year that we hope we don't have to go through again. Aren't you glad that last year's battles are over and last year's troubles and trials are over? But I don't know about you, but January the 1st, there's somewhat of a spirit of apprehension and doubt that creeps over me. I think, oh my soul, what have I got to face this coming year? In fact, my wife and I will say something like this: I wonder who's going to get stupid at church this year. And if you don't understand that, you've never pastored an independent Baptist church. You may pastor a Methodist church, a Holiness church, a Southern Baptist church, and not understand that. But if you've ever pastored an independent, premillennial, fundamental, King James only Baptist church, it just ain't no telling who's going to get stupid this year and make your life miserable. We do not know what lies ahead. I do believe that 2012 will go down in history as a monumental year for our country. I believe we're going to have an election this year that's going to decide America and religious freedom as we know it. We're living in times of uncertainty. We don't know what the housing market is going to do. We do not know what the stock market is going to do. We do not know what the banking system is going to do. Someone asked me not long ago, they said, Brother Joe, how is your portfolio looking? I said, it's folioed right out of existence. We do not know what lies ahead. But I'm glad tonight as we face uncertain days, I'm glad tonight as we face uncertain times, we do not have to face the unknown in doubt and fear and anxiety and dread. I'm glad tonight we can have the same boldness and the same hope and the same confidence that Paul had in this text. In fact, he encourages the young preacher to continue thou in the things that he knows, the things he has been assured of, knowing of whom he has learned them. And he said, young man, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Oh, I'm glad tonight in the midst of uncertainty, I don't think, I don't hope, I don't maybe, but I can say without any doubt whatsoever at all, I know that I know that I know that I know. I may not know what 2012 holds, but I'm glad I know who holds 2012. Tonight, if God was to drop the scales from our eyes and let us see every burden, every trouble, every heartache that we're going to face this coming year, we would not be able to stand it. But thank God, instead of fear and doubt and dread in our soul, there is a calm assurance. There is an absolute faith. There is faith and hope beyond a shadow of a doubt. Aren't you glad that in certain times we have certain truths and we can have the blessed assurance that God is still God and the Bible is still true and God doeth all things well. Verses 1 through 7 in our text, you have the perilous time. Verses 12 through 14, you have a personal task. And in verses number 15 through the end of chapter, you have precious truths. I'm glad in the midst of perilous times, I know what I'm supposed to do. And what is that? Continue thou. Press on, keep going. And I'm glad I know how I can do that, because I hold in my hand tonight the infallible, the inerrant, the inspired word of God. And it is profitable. And let me interpret verse number 17. It's everything the man of God needs to fulfill his calling of God in his life. We don't think about the Bible. We don't hope about the Bible. We don't trust about the Bible. We know we have the Word of God. We know we have the truth of God. We know that we're preaching the right gospel. We know that we're serving the right God. The future may be unknown, but our faith is known. There is blessed assurance in our hearts tonight that we're still on the winning side. I want to follow the writings of Paul just for a moment. And I want us to look at three other places in his writings where Paul used this word, no. Not the word no, that means knowledge gained by experience. But the word no, that means faith and assurance and confidence beyond a shadow of a doubt. The first one you'll find back in chapter 1 in verse number 12. Here Paul is in the prison. He's days away from facing the executioners. In just a few days he will die for the cause of Christ. But Paul says, I want to testify. And he said, the first thing I want to say is this, I am not ashamed. I've got to die for my faith, but I'm not ashamed. I've been persecuted for my faith, but I'm not ashamed. I've been laughed at, I've been scoffed, I've been ridiculed, but I am not ashamed. Paul, what gives you such assurance? For he says in verse 12, I'm not ashamed because, for I know. He didn't say I think, I hope, I maybe, I reckon. He said, for I know. And notice he didn't say I know why. He didn't say, I know what. He didn't say, I know when. He said, I know who. Lord God, I feel like preaching tonight. I'm glad when you know whom, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the when and the where and the why no longer matters. I don't have all the answers. I'm not even familiar with most of the questions. I don't know why, and I don't know when, and I don't know how, but there is one that I do know. I know whom. know who. Notice how Paul got to know him in the verse. I know whom I have believed. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Paul, how well do you know him? He says in the rest of the verse, I know him so well that I am persuaded, thoroughly convinced. You can't talk me out of it. My feet are planted. My heart is fixed. My mind is settled. No debate. No negotiation. No room for trade-ins. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. I am thoroughly convinced. Absolutely sold out. The die is cast. The vote is in. And Jesus is my hope. And Jesus is my plea. And Jesus is my Savior. Paul said, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep. Keep what, Paul? That which I've committed unto him against that day. Let me say tonight, number one, in the midst of uncertain times, we can know that we know that God's pardon is sure. I'm telling you, you can face 2012 knowing that you know, that you know, that you know your sins have been forgiven. You've been saved by the grace of God. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and Jesus is your Savior. You can know that in the midst of uncertain times. And if you find yourself where Paul is, you better know that you know. That you know. Paul's on his way to the crossing with absolute confidence that he's saved. There's nothing nobody can do about it. If I may use an old mountain preacher expression, Paul said, I'm so saved, it's pitiful. How many times have you counseled somebody and they say to you, oh, preacher, if I could just only know that I'm saved. You can. You say, well, people say you can't. They may not, but you can. You said, somebody told me you can't really know that until you're dead. If you wait till then to find out, you're too late. Boy, wouldn't you hate to be in a church that didn't make a saint out of you till you were dead. Brother, you are looking at Saint JoJo tonight. I'm saved tonight. I have a relationship with God tonight. My sins are forgiven tonight. My name is written in heaven tonight. My past has been erased tonight. I'm regenerated tonight. I'm redeemed tonight. I'm justified tonight. I'm adopted tonight. I'm born again tonight. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb tonight. I'm a child of God tonight. I'm part of the bride of Christ tonight. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down tonight. I know that I know that I know whom I have believed. Praise God. And I am thoroughly convinced that he is able. Able to do what, preacher? To keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What day? That day where every man and woman and boy and girl shall give an account for their soul. And Paul is that close to this day. But he's not shook up. He's not nervous. He's not biting his fingernails down to his knuckles, for he has calm assurance, faith, confidence beyond a shadow of a doubt. Paul, you think you may lose it on the last leg of the journey? No. Paul, do you think these Roman soldiers are going to break in your cell and steal what you got in Jesus? No. Paul, you think when you go out there and lay your head on the chopping block, you know, you may lose what you got. Paul said, no doubt, no fear, no dread. I know whom I have believed. I am thoroughly convinced. I've got my mind made up. My heart is fixed that He, God Almighty, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valleys, the Bride of the Morning Star, the God and the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the author of the Bible, the chief cornerstone, the good shepherd, the vine, amen, the way, the truth, and the life, and the door, and the bread, and the water, and the wine. Glory to God that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. Against that day, Paul said, I'm headed for that day, like everybody's headed for that day, and I've got to give an account for my soul that day, but I'm not worried about that day. I've got that day fixed. I'm fixed for that day. I'm settled for that day. It's done for that day, because I'm not keeping me. He's keeping me, and He is able to keep that. Hold in my hand tonight a fresh $20 bill. My wife may be sometime early in the morning. Boy, I appreciate her contribution to the ministry. But I hold in my hand a fresh $20 bill. Let's say come Friday is that day. Friday is that day where I'm going to need this to give an account for something that I will face on Friday. But I know me, and I have no confidence in me, and I'm absolutely scared to death if I lose this. Come Friday, I'm gonna come up lacking. But there's a man in this room that I believe is an honest, upright, standing man. Isn't that you, Tim? And there's a man in this room that I believe I can trust with all of my heart. And so I say, Brother Stewart, I'm not good at keeping things. I'm unorganized. I fly by the seat of my britches. I fall and I stumble and I fail. And I make mistakes. And I cannot afford to come. Bless God, I'm going somewhere. I cannot afford to come up lacking on Friday. And I'm going to need this on Friday. I just don't think I'm able to keep it. But I tell you what I'm going to do, Preacher Ray. I commit this unto you. That means I placed it at His disposal. I totally turned it loose and gave it to Him. I committed it unto you against that day. And from this, well, glory. And from this, hallelujah. And from this day to that day, no matter what I face, no matter what I go through, no matter how I feel, I shall not come up lacking. I will not come up lacking. I'm not even worried about coming up lacking. I can't lose the money. I can't lose the token. I can't lose the $20. I may swim through waters deep. I may carry burdens heavy. I may climb mountains high. But I can't lose the $20. I can't. Because it's not in my trust. It's not in my care. It's in the care of another. Woo! Here comes Friday. Joe Arthur, what do you got to say for yourself? How do you plead? I'll say, I have a friend. He's going to talk for me. He's going to plead for me. I put my trust in Him, and He'll hold up His hand, and He'll not only have $20, bless God, He'll have the same $20. Oh, someone said, where are you going? Honey, there's a great day coming when the sovereign God of heaven will look at every man and say, what is your plea? Oh, God, what is your plea? And I'm glad in that day I will not say my name is Joe Arthur. I will not say I'm an old-fashioned independent Baptist. But I'll stand and say, sir, Jesus Christ, Lord of glory, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's my hope. He's my plea. He's my answer. And Jesus, hold up the blood. And God will say, satisfied, satisfied. I want to tell you I'm glad. No matter what comes our way in the unknown, we can't lose our salvation. We will not lose our salvation. We know that we know that we know that God's pardon is sure and we're saved and it's settled in heaven. Praise God. Amen. In the midst of uncertain times, we can know that God's pardon is sure. Number two, Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28. Paul uses the same strong word again. And he says, for we know. Remember the definition, faith and assurance beyond a shadow of a doubt. For we know that some things, a few things, one or two things, likable things, expected things, good things. No, he just said all things. You say, what does all things mean? It means all things. It means good things, bad things. Likeable things, unlikable things. It means expected or unexpected. All things. Do you realize the arena of life is circled about with God's for all things? I may not can explain it. I may not like it. I may not even want it. But it's still in the arena of all things. What do they do, preacher? All things work together for good. To who? To them that love God. Is there anybody here tonight that loves God? If you love God, raise your right hand. If you really love God, raise your left hand. If you love Him, love Him, love Him, love Him, love Him, just wave them real good. And you know why you love Him tonight? Because He first loved you. To them who are the called according to His purpose. What is God's purpose? That men be saved and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Anybody here saved? You love God? Did you answer the call when God called your name? And by the way, I'm glad God saves personally, individually. You may have got saved one morning when 500 others got saved, but God still saved personally and individually. Have we got anybody in this room that's saved? You know you're saved and you love God. Guess what? You're in this verse that all things work together for good to them that love God. We can know that we know that we know. Not only that God's pardon is sure, but in uncertain times we can know that we know that we know that God's plan is sovereign. And I'm glad I can use that word and not stroke out. You say, you must be a Calvinist. I can't even spell it. I'm first class bona fide whosoever we owe. But I believe that God is sovereign, almighty, all powerful. And He knows the end from the beginning. I don't have a four-leaf clover stuck in my Bible. I don't have a stupid rabbit's foot stuck in my pocket. Someone said, I've got a rabbit's foot in my pocket, and it's going to bring me good luck. It didn't help the rabbit none. Because of your silly superstition, there's a three-footed rabbit hopping around somewhere. I don't look at the horoscope. I don't go to Sister Teresa and get my palm read. Bless God, I don't even read Dear Abby or Cole Rush. My life is not in the hand of a palm reader. My faith is not in the hands of a dead flower over my daddy's grave. My faith, Lord have mercy, is not in a rabbit's foot. Oh my. But my hope and my faith and my life and my soul rest into the hands of a sovereign, omniscient, almighty, heavenly Father. God's got a plan. I know that in uncertain times. If I can explain it, or if I can't explain it. If I like it or don't like it. All things. How many of you fellas tonight know what a honey-do list is? Let me tell you about them honey-do lists. Honey, if you don't do it, you're done. Let me just say this tonight. If it includes curtains and blinds and wallpaper, divorce now. It's cheaper. Has your wife ever sent you down to the paint store to get some paint? Mine sent me one time, and she had so much confidence in me, she gave me a piece of paper with the name of the paint, the number of the paint, what catalog and page it come out of, and even a sample of what it looks like. And as I was walking out the door, she said those majestic words, Buster. And my name ain't even Buster. Don't come back with nothing but that. And you married me and know if she ain't happy, nobody else cares. So I go to the Home Depot or Lowe's or the paint store, and immediately I am discouraged. Because the guy behind the counter don't look like he know more about paint than I do. Number one, he's wearing an apron with 9,000, he done spilt it all over the place. And I say to him, sir, do you love me? Do you care about my ministry? Sir, I preach for a group of guys that if you're divorced, you're done. And sir, my ministry and the welfare of my kids, boy, I can turn it on when I have to, depends on how good you are at this paint. And then he does something that blows my mind. He goes over to the shelf and gets a bucket of white paint. And I say, wait a minute, I didn't ask for white. And then he says, trust me. And I say, the last person I said that to, sir, I married him, and you ain't my kind. And then Brother Ray, he does something else that blows my mind. He walks over to a bunch of little cans and starts squirting in all kind of colors. Black, green, yellow, burgundy. By this time, I see that sign on 85, uncontested divorce, $4.99, I'm it. I've got the 1-800 number memorized. I'm down at the Waffle House crying with that man whose dog left him. Ralph Sexton Jr.'s got this message, and he spins them rock and roll records back, and he says, you can hear demons talk. Well, I had to come up with something sensational, so I went down and got me some country western records, and I played them back, and I got my dog back, my truck back, my wife back, my girlfriend back, and everything, my shotgun back. And I say to that man, sir, I don't want green, I don't want red, I don't want yellow, I don't want black, I want this. And again he says, trust me. And then he does something that really blows my mind. He takes the bucket over to a little washing machine looking thing, clamps it down, turns on some buttons, and shakes the God-given life out of it. And I'm going, hold it, sir, hold it. By the time you get through shaking that paint, the pigment's gonna be gone. It won't stick on the wall, sir. You're killing me. And he just grins, pulls it out of the shaker, puts the lid on it, and says, there you go, sir. And I say, no way. I ain't leaving here until you open that bucket and let me see in there. I am not going to go home and take the bucket and open it up without knowing what. No, sir, open that bucket. And he opened that bucket. And you ain't never going to believe what was in there. Paint. Thick paint. Nice, good paint. And you ain't gonna believe this. I didn't see the black, I didn't see the burgundy, I didn't see the green, I didn't see the yellow. What was on the paper was in the bucket. And he knows how weak in faith I am. So he says, watch. And he takes the paper, dips it in the bucket, puts a hair dryer on it, and says, see, you can't tell them apart. Thank you, sir. What do you do then, Brother Joe? I do what any self-respecting man will do. I get that bucket and I go home with it. And I walk in and say, baby, old Big Daddy done it again. I have stepped up to the plate. I have fulfilled your every desire. I am the man. Trust me. And I can take the credit if I want to, but I didn't have anything to do with how that turned out. I just brought the piece of paper. But that was a master mixer. Woo! Who knew what to do? Sometimes I say, God, I don't want that. God, I don't like that. God, please don't. Lord, this ain't good. This ain't right. You're messing me up. Then he puts me in the shaker. And I say, oh God, you're trying to kill me. And he says, trust me. And one day the lid's coming off the bucket. And I'll stand in the celestial city of God. And you know what's coming out of the bucket? Just like Jesus, just like my Lord, cause all things work together for good to them that love God. We know that. We know that. We have the assurance that that's true in our soul. You say, I'm here tonight and I'm down at the paint store. Trust the mixer. You say, well, God put a bunch of stuff in my life I don't like. Trust him. Preacher, what is God trying to do? Is he trying to kill me? No, he's just making paint to decorate somebody's life. Well, I was laying up there in that hospital sick as a dog. I heard somebody say today, some people go to the hospital that really ain't sick. They just like being there. No. If you go and you ain't sick, you are sick. I didn't like nothing about it. Number one, it's the coldest place I've ever been in my life. And if you don't die, what you got, you'll catch pneumonia in there, honey, if you ain't careful. I walked in that room, that woman said, here, put this on. Bless God, it ain't funny, Steve. And bless God, you wouldn't look no better than one of them see-through things than I would. Shut up. And they'll roll you in a wheelchair and roll you out there in the front and be a greeter like at Walmart. And there you sit trying to, hi, doctor, hi. One man come by me trying to cover up, not trying to cover up. I said, I'm sorry, sir. He said, I am too. I just come to check the air conditioning. And I'll tell you something I found out. I don't know where all them medical terms come from, all them stethoscopes and usoscopes or whatever, but I know where that ICU term come from. You put one of them gowns on and turn around and somebody's going to say, I see you. You'll get that after a while. And I'll tell you something else I didn't like about being in there. Somebody went and told the devil what room I was in. Then he went to hell and got him some reinforcements. And from 12 at night to 6 in the morning, they paid me a visit. Walked around my bed and said, shout now, camp meeting preacher. Shout now, glory boy. You're done. You're stopped here. You have had it. You're finished. I got you. Where is God now? Where does doing right pay off now? What about all your stinking convictions now? I got you. And son, if you let it, it'll run you batty. If you're not in the middle ward before you get there, you will before you leave if you're not careful. But oh, it ain't long to somebody besides a doctor, somebody besides the night nurse, somebody besides your family. Didn't mind if the visiting hours were over or not. Didn't even check in at the front desk and show any credentials, because when you're sovereign God, you don't need to show nobody credentials. Didn't even use the elevator. Glory to God. Amen. And just walked in that room, laid his sovereign, omnipotent, amen, hand on your life and said, I'm God. I'm still here. And everything's running on time. Oh, I want to say tonight, I don't know what the economy's going to do. I don't know what politics is going to do. I don't even know what this world's going to do. But there's one thing I know. God's going to do right. God's going to do right. God's going to do right. And we know that God's plan is sovereign. And God's pardon is sure. Lastly tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 1. The last time Paul uses a strong word, faith and assurance beyond a shadow of a doubt. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul said, for we know, and I love this, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, and he's talking about his physical body, if the earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, go back to the dust, fade from view, he said, we have not another tabernacle, not another tent, but we have a building of God, a house not made with hands. And notice where it is. Eternal in the heavens. Oh, aren't you glad in the midst of uncertain times we can know that God's pardon is sure. We can know that God's plan is sovereign. And we can know that God's promises are sweet. That when this life is over, we have a place with God on the other side. And we know that. I love the word picture in verse 1. Paul said, this tabernacle. You know what that takes you to? That takes you to the Old Testament, where that was that little tent. That was a temporary place for the Ark of Covenant, which represented the presence of God, to stay while they were on their pilgrimage. But when they got out of their pilgrimage and got to the land, they done away with the tent and got them a permanent place to dwell, a building. Boy, aren't you glad for that night when you got saved? The Shekinah glory of the old is the Holy Ghost of the new, and He moved in. And that's all our physical bodies are, a temporary place for your saved soul, regenerated spirit, and the Holy Ghost to live. While we're on our pilgrimage, but one day we'll pray our last prayer, carry our last burden, fight our last battle, sing our last song, and we're moving out of the tent. We're moving out of the temporary place. Where are we going? Going to a house not made with hands, an eternal body fashioned by God Himself. And there'll be no more pilgrimage. There'll be no more moving. There'll be more address change. I'm glad when this life is over, we have eternity with God. And we know that. We know that. Paul is hours away from walking out to that executioner's mark. In a few moments, they'll cut off his head and he'll be dead. But Paul's got calm assurance, confidence and faith beyond a shadow of a doubt, that when he says goodbye down here, he'll have an eternal abode up there. I feel like saying, Paul, can I talk to you just a minute? Sir, most people facing what you're about to face would be filled with fear and doubt and dread and anxiety. How do you speak for such a calm? He said, I'll tell you how. Because I know that I'm saved. And sir, I know that God has a plan for my life. And I know that I know that I know when this temporary is over, I have a permanent place with God on the other side. You say, preacher, in the midst of uncertain times when we don't know what's happening in our world, can we be sure? We can be absolutely sure and have blessed assurance that we're saved. God's got a plan for our life. And there is a home over yonder. And our eternal destiny is fixed through faith in Jesus Christ. I read this story. They said a little lady got sick and went to the doctor. The doctor said, ma'am, I hate to tell you this, but you got less than 6 months to live. If there's anything in your life you've ever wanted to do, you better do it. And ever since she was a little girl, she had a desire to go to New York and ride an airplane and spend the night in a big old high-rise hotel. So she went down to the bank, drilled all her money, booked the flight, and man, got in that big old Delta jet. Man, she'd never ridden anything like that. They came to the airport. Brother Stewart picked her up in one of them big stretch limousines. They took her downtown Long Island to a big old fancy hotel. It blew her mind. The revolving door, the brass chandeliers, the marble on the floor. I mean, it was beautiful. She went up to the desk, signed her name, and put the money down. And a little fellow walked over there and got her suitcases and said, follow me. They walked in this little old room, a little bitty small room, and she began to cry. The little fellow with her suitcase and said, "Ma'am, what you crying about?" She said, "You mean all my life I've planned, I've dreamed, and this is all there is to it? There's no carpet on the floor. There's no bed to sleep in, no pictures on the wall. This is a dump. All my life I've dreamed, and this is all there is to it." And that little fella said, "Honey, don't cry. You're just on the elevator. What you got is up there." Sometimes that old low-down devil said, "See, this is all there is to it. Don't cry. You're just on the elevator. What we got is up there. And by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, we shall be there. Because we know that we know that we know that we know." Let's stand together. Our Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Lord, I'm glad tonight in the midst of a world that's reeling and rocking its way to hell. In a world, Lord, that is unsure and uncertain. I'm glad we can be like Brother Paul and say with absolute faith and assurance that we know, that we know. Lord, there may be somebody in this room tonight that doesn't know that they know. And Lord, they'll never be in a better environment to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, there may be a child of God in this room tonight, some preacher, some pastor, some mom, some dad, and they feel like they're down at the paint store and they're about to die. May they come tonight and give their life into the hands of a God who doeth all things well. Meet our needs tonight, Lord, and we'll thank you. And oh, God, I know there's a lot of preachers in this room tonight, Lord. They're weary, they're tired. Lord, some of them even came to this meeting, and if they don't get some help, they don't know what they're going to do. God, may we not leave in fear and dread, but in blessed assurance and confidence that we know you, and you doeth all things well. Thank you, Lord, for the goodness of God in the land of the living. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.